Love Talk Radio.
The approach is everything. It's got to be approached with pure love, real love, not fake.
Welcome, excuse me, to 2020 LFC Ordination Preparation Weekly Meeting. I'm not quite sure who was speaking. Someone's phone on a speaker. Well, nobody's phone actually was on. So we welcome.
Sorry, that was me. I had a class video running.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was going to say somebody was teaching something, but it wasn't me. So how are you, Pastor?
Oh, I'm good.
Amen. Before we get started, we want to start in prayer. And so we need a gentleman on the line to, and then we'll go right into the meeting. All right? So one of our candidates or accountability partners or committee members. Pray. Thank you. I guess we're going to start putting you guys on a schedule so that you'll know. So, who wants to open us up in prayer this evening? We have Pastor Winslow on the line. Okay. Well, what about Elder Carter? Pastor Bivens? Okay, I'm going to make sure everybody's phone is on speaker. In case you're there and your phone is not on speaker, I haven't put you on speaker. Sorry.
I think you had a phone
mute. Elder Carter is here. Carter Thomas is here.
Amen. All right.
Yeah, I didn't hear any other men here, so I'm like, what's going on? So, anyway, dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now as humbly as we know how, just asking for your continued blessing over this network, over our leader. And Father, we just thank you that you have been so good and so kind to us, and that there is no distance or device that can keep us separated from doing the work that you have called us to do. And Father, we just ask that you will bless this time, bless each candidate, bless everyone that's online, and even those that couldn't make it tonight, when they hear the blog talk later, that there will be a blessing, a special blessing attached to it. So we ask that you will breathe on this time and lead us in this time, that you may be glorified in all that we do. Bless the works of our hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, amen. Thank you very much. Elder Sharita, make note that we want to set the gentleman up on a rotation for our meetings on Thursday to open us up in prayer. And that way when they know, they maybe will dial in a little earlier and be available. But we do thank you, Elder. You are always in place and dependable. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. And so we've had our opening prayer. I do want to highlight some things, and we'll start having highlights at the beginning of our meeting because we want to highlight some of the paperwork that's been sent in. And so that you may be encouraged to send yours in. We're coming fast to the end of a phase, and Elder Sharita is going to go over that with you, what phase you're in, and then we will have Prophet Tom. He sent you some notes about your prophetic teaching, calling, and the prophetic words that was given you, and I'm sure he's going to have a little mini quiz for you today to see how many people read it and studied it and reviewed it or remembered it from last week. So these are some of the things we're going to do when we come on Thursdays. And I do want to start with highlighting different individuals, and maybe I won't tell you their names, but I will share with you what they have submitted. Because and I didn't ask them in advance. That's the only reason I won't share their names, but I am going to share what they've done. And just the thoroughness and the blessing that it is. And so we had that individual who turned in their calling, what God had called them to. And in doing so, and in communicating that, writing it down, communicating it, turning it in, it painted a perfect picture of this individual. And so in this process that we're in order for us to be of a help to you spiritually, we need to see a profile of who you are, where you've been, what influences have been in your life, and how they impacted you, and what your response to them were. And it's this sort of thing that we look at, and as we analyze it and review it, we are equipped then to be to present a more meaningful program to you. So it's very important that you let us know who you are and what you are looking to accomplish as you go forth in this. And so there are many opportunities that you're going to get to share that with us, and we do want to make sure that you take advantage of every opportunity. So there are some things that you just have to write, and that's one of the things what God is calling him to. That was what I said it's a he, so you probably know who it is. I'm not sure if you won't mind. Just in describing the calling and the preparation for season and each progression in his walk, each step of his walk, and the type of a preparation that he surrendered to and became subject to, and how in doing those things he was established. But more than that, God's word was going forth to a greater and greater audience. That's what I want you to hear, to a greater and a greater audience. And then you get the attention of those that have the authority to expose or to present you and your ministry to an even greater audience. So those are some of the things that we glean when you do submit your paperwork, when you really take time, and that's why it's given to you in phases so that you don't rush through it, but you really labor and take time with it under the Holy Spirit, bringing to your remembrance some things that perhaps you yourself have even forgotten. So it's the kind of thing that is supposed to stir you up in your most holy faith, in your walk. It encourages your soul. You can encourage your soul by writing down all that God has done for you and the path that he's brought you in and the times that you heard his voice, just remembering even the times you heard his voice. I don't want to belabor it, but I did want to highlight that one particular item of paperwork. I applaud all of you. You're getting all of your work in. It is good work. I noticed that sometimes after you hear more teaching and more training, you submit a revised version because more things are revealed to you, and that's absolutely awesome. That's what we need to see, and that's what you need to communicate to us. And that helps us to know where you are, along with your accountability partnering element to so that people aren't lost, or we're not going too slow for you, or there are things that, you know, been there, done that, I need more. And so there are programs and projects that we could give. And so I am really very, it is a blessing to be able to read the things that you guys submit. It is awesome how God is working in your life, and we as a committee feel humbled that God would allow us to be a further part of your process. And so at this point, we want to ask Elder Sherita to let you know what's next. Elder Sherita?
Greetings, everyone. Good evening. Thank you all for tuning in for the weekly one-hour presentation training meetings. The meetings are held every Thursday from now through August via Blog Talk Radio. And then to conference in for the meetings, that number is 619-924-0684. And then if you are not able to call in or if you're not able to make a meeting on the scheduled day, you can always log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC-WordLifeCenter. And you can go to the Becoming a Voice and Not an Echo section. And then you can just click on that presentation that you missed. And then for actually on last week, Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson gave us a cutting edge and revelatory teaching on the 21st century trailblazer and how that trailblazer anointing looks for the class of 2020. We actually emailed the notes from that teaching on yesterday via email, so everybody should have got a copy of it. And then we are excited to hear from today's presenters, which are candidate emerging evangelist Keturah Johnson and her accountability partner, Minister Lynette Harris. They will present on the characteristic active listeners coming from the scripture James 1:19. And then for all candidates, just remember that phase two is due by next Thursday, which is May 30th. The core requirements that you should have already submitted to overseer from phase two by now are your conversion statement, your mission and vision statement, what ministry has God called you to, and define this calling based on scripture. Identify and write a review of all scriptures and any supporting resources that define your role in your specific calling and your qualifications for that calling. And then I believe the last requirement that is due is on April 25th, which is right before the deadline date. And that requirement is, how will your ministry look? Who, where, and how you are called to serve. And remember, these requirements are written in an essay format. And then lastly, just a reminder for all candidates and accountability partners, your interpersonal assessment forms are also due by next Thursday, April 30th. And then on this form, you're evaluating each other's spiritual development, productivity, and personal development. And you can email those interpersonal forms and candidates your requirements to oversee a Paulette at PC_Thornton@yahoo.com. And that's all that I have.
Thank you so much, Elder. So we will go to Prophet.
Evening, everyone. Sorry about that. I realize I still have my phone on mute. I pray that all is well. We do. As always, we're excited about what God is doing in the life of each and every one of our candidates. As Elder Sharita said, we hope that you had an opportunity to just get the teaching about trailblazing. That is part of your 2020 prophetic declaration. And so we did talk about one revolutionary trailblazer. Do anyone on the phone would like to tell me that individual name?
Elijah.
Elijah, very good. And we definitely talked about how Elijah was on this cutting edge of doing something new and doing something very powerful. One of the things that we highlighted in that particular teaching, we talked about part of the definition of being a trailblazer. Can someone just give me one word that is in the definition of a trailblazer?
Discovers.
Okay, discover, that's good. Give me another word.
And can you tell us who you are? Say who you are.
Yes, tell us who you are.
Yes, yes. State your name and tell us who you are. Thank you.
Shannon Pioneer.
Pioneer. Good, good. That's one of the words I was looking for. So we definitely talked about a trailblazer being a pioneer, or being what we call a innovator, identifying that their sole purpose is to prepare a trail for what's to come. And I really pray that you, within this 2020 candidate, just take ownership of that spiritual mandate, that part of your prophetic word said that God has entrusted you, that he has released this kind of mantle over your life, and that he is using you to raise up those who will rise from the grave of their past, and you will set this trailblazing trail. So can someone tell me where Elijah's particular story was discussed in the Bible that we talked about on last week?
This is Pastor Yvette. I would say it's in 2 Kings, the second chapter, verses 19 to 22.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So what we talked, so we sent you some 5 things to consider from the story through the lens of that prophetic word. One of the things that we talked about was when we looked at 2 Kings 9, this was actually Elijah's first miracle. We said that he pioneered a solution that was acceptable to the men of that town. He led the head of his class. He didn't ask for a solution. He trusted the trailblazing gift in him, and by faith he created the first water reclamation system for that town. If you look at the content of that particular passage of scripture, they identified as Elijah as Lord. And what I like about the lens of that scripture, they didn't ask for Elijah for a solution, but they knew that they could come to Elijah for a solution. And I'm willing to bet that many of you that's on this phone, you carry that kind of gifting. People pull on you in certain ways, and you may not even identify that that is part of this trailblazing gifting or anointing that's living on the inside of you. But those men understood that Elijah carried a weight. They had seen this mantle fall. They watched his process of growing through with Elijah, and they knew that the anointing of their Lord now rested on Elijah as a Lord. And if you look at that particular scripture, again, they approached him with confidence, knowing that he would come up with a solution. And I like that Elijah responded. He responded, and he trusts that there was a solution inside of him. And so I want you to hear that, that I just need you all to trust that the solution is inside of you, that God has uniquely and divinely anointed and gifted you with a pioneer, the ability to innovate, and it lives on the inside of you. The next thing that we said was in number 2, he wasn't afraid to use something new while incorporating something familiar. So Elijah told the servant to bring me a new bowl. And he took a new bowl, and then he took what was familiar with salt, and he placed it in a new bowl. And one of the words that the Lord has been giving us is and just in general about raising up transformational leaders and how transformational leaders carry this anointing to build this gap, this generational gap. When you are a transformational leader, God has strategically placed inside of you the ability to reach all generations so that one nation will praise the name of the Lord. And so I like how Elijah started with this new bowl, which I believe represents a generation to come, but he also introduced to everyone what they were familiar with, which was salt, and he was able to combine them, put them together, so that what he was pioneering or innovating could come to pass. And so I just want that to settle in your spirit. I want you to be able to trust that God is giving you the ability, and it may require you to hone some different skills. It may require you to challenge yourself and move into a new vein. But trust that if God is giving you this trailblazing anointing, you are a transformational leader, you have the ability to close this generational gap, then God has sufficiently equipped you to learn whatever it is. If you got to learn to text and talk, or, you know, learn a new Zoom system, I don't know. But God has put it inside of you so that you can fulfill that mandate to close this generational gap. And then number three, we said that he paved the way for others by seeing beyond their present negative circumstance. He saw that they couldn't see. He saw what they couldn't see and innovated an idea for their future. So they said, "We have a problem, my Lord," they told him. "This town is located in a pleasant surroundings. As you can see, it's bad, and the land is unproductive." And so Elijah did not focus on the fact that the land was unproductive. He knew that the solution was on the inside of him. And so he was able to see beyond their present. And so that kind of anointing can be frustrating, because while you have this innovative, this creativity living on inside of you, you're seeing beyond. And oftentimes people who you're connected with can't, and you have to be okay with that. So Elijah just moved right into his innovation and created what God has placed on inside of him. And then the fourth thing he said, he challenged and created faith in others who had doubt based on their current situation. And so Elijah said, "Bring me a new bowl with salt in it." So they brought it to him. So he created faith in others. He created this faith in them. They're not really sure. They knew that the land was bad, it was unproductive, but they responded in obedience and brought him that bowl. And so I think that that is something very powerful that you should know, that it's okay, you know, that God will use you to inspire others to follow. And then the last thing that we pointed out in the 15th says, he changed the trajectory of the town future and pioneered a solution by setting a trail for others to follow and creating the will of God in that town. And this is what the Lord said: "I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility, and the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elijah has said." So he changed that trajectory of the town. He pioneered a solution for those individuals, and now they were living in the will of God. And so I do encourage you, 2020 candidates, to just embrace this process, to continue to trust the process. Understand that God has given you the ability to change the trajectory of others' future. There are solutions living inside of you, and I pray that you will continue to follow the will and the plan of God for your life. Amen. We love being a part of your process, and we are excited to be in the journey with you. You know, one thing that I like about the definition of El Kabbalah, it describes a God who just doesn't fight for you, but gets in the ring and fight with you so that you may have victory. So we are excited as a team to be a part of your journey and to see what God is doing in your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet, and we do hope that you study those notes and become very familiar with them. You never know when you'll get a question. All right, so now we have our own AEN representative here on the line to give you some brief words of encouragement. And we turn the floor over now to Apostle KP.
Amen. Thank you. We just wanted to come and look at you on today and staying in the same vein that Prophet was in. The scripture that came to mind for me to encourage you on today was Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. And the word of the Lord says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of those who delight in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him his hand." And so one of the things that God definitely spoke to me about concerning this scripture is that the steps, he said, that he will hold. But in order for you to make certain steps on certain ground, the shoes become important. And I want you to look at your different callings and your different anointings as your shoes. Your shoes are important for the call that God has given you. I can't wear high-heeled shoes to try to climb a rocky mountain or to try to go on ground where there's a lot of rocks and a lot of hills. My shoes play an important factor on how my steps will be, whether or not my steps will be firm or whether or not they'll be weak. And so as God has given each of you the various shoes or the various call that he's called you to, I need for you to begin to understand what it's going to take for you to endure. And one of the things that God began to speak to me about as I was getting ready to come on, he said your shoes dictate the terrain that you're in. And as I began to look at what exactly is a terrain, a terrain is the progressive ground. It's the ground that you're around. It's progressive and that it builds. And as you're going through the process of being a part of the AEN, as you're going through the process of what you're walking in and the progression of what you're doing as far as those things that are required of you, I want you to know that your shoes play an important part. God has already equipped you with the shoes that are necessary for your steps. Yes, for your steps. And so he says that I'm going to make firm your steps. I've already equipped you with the shoes that you need to make the steps that you're making firm on the terrain that I have given you, the terrain that I have given you progressively, the terrain that I have given you for where you're going to go, who you have to minister to, that it's going to be something that's progressive. And then the last thing he says in the scripture in verse 24, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Remember, you're not doing this by yourself. This is not in and of just your strength, but God is also giving you the strength from heaven. He's giving you what he needs for you to be what he has called you to be. And so I just want to make sure that as you're looking, as you're checking your shoes, as you're making sure you got on the right shoes, the size of the shoes are important. Don't try to put on anybody else's shoes. Make sure that you have on the shoes that fit your feet. Come on, somebody. Amen. And as you're walking this thing out, hallelujah, God has said that he is going to uphold you with his right hand. So I just want to encourage you on today that your steps have been ordered by the Lord, that your steps are firm. They're made firm by the Lord and by the anointing that he has resonated and resides on each and every one of you. So I just want to say on behalf of Pastoral Care and Spiritual Triage, be encouraged as you go through the terrain that God has set before you. He's already equipped you with the shoes that are necessary to make the proper steps that are going to bring you to the end of this thing. God bless you all.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Words of encouragement, prophetic words. So now let's get the presentation for this week. We will start with the introduction from our own Elder Deborah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As is our tradition, every Thursday we look at a specific element or characteristic that highlights accountability in the scripture, and we want you to be mindful that these particular elements or characteristics cover our behavior, our mindsets, and in some cases even our warfare. And during this process, we hope that the revelation that from Galatians 2 and 20 reminds us that our life is not our own, and we have been crucified with Christ, so we should not frustrate the grace of God. Today's element will be presented by the candidate Keturah Johnson. Her accountability partner is Minister Lynette Harris. The specific characteristic for today, April 23rd, is active listeners. It's coming from James 1 and 19. The accountability partner will give a brief discussion, a brief introduction, followed by the candidate who will explore and delve deeper into that scripture and how the Lord has revealed it to her regarding the area of accountability. The floor is yours, Minister Harris.
Greetings, everyone. I would like to introduce. I am excited for the candidate that I am an accountability partner to. This young lady is so humble and so shy, but I just love her quiet spirit. Keturah is a member of Vagrants for Christ Ministries, and she's an entrepreneurial spirit. She is a beauty product, I want to say consultant. She's also currently a nursing student. So she's in school taking classes to be able to become a nurse. She loves helping people, and that's a calling that she sees is upon her life. So her vocation and avocation will always be geared towards helping others. She's an emerging evangelist, and I have witnessed growth in so many ways, and I just want to continue to encourage her as she is well on her way to being awesome evangelist. I see her just drawing in people and converting the lives of others. So without further ado, I introduce to you Keturah Johnson.
Good evening, everybody. I just want to see if everybody can hear me first.
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. So, good evening, everyone. I will be presenting on tonight about how to be an active listener, and my scripture comes from James 1:19. I pulled up the Amplified version, and I was going to just write out something, like I was writing notes and everything, but something happened to me last night, like a real-life story I'm going to tell, that really helped me resonate with this message on today. So I'm first read the scripture, and then I'm going to pull up the definition of what a listener is and what an active listener is, and then tell my story and just let God say whatever he has to tell me to, you know, to speak to you all about. So I'm going to pull up scripture first. So James 1:19, the Amplified Version says, "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let everyone be quick to hear, be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving." So I was like, initially, I was like, what's, you know, the difference between a regular listener and an active listener? So I pulled up the definition. A listener, a regular listener, is a person who listens, especially someone who does so in an attentive manner. So then, okay, well, what's an active listener? So I pulled up the definition for that. It says that an active listener, active listening is a technique that is used on counseling, training, and solving disputes. It requires that the listener fully concentrate, understand, respond, and then remember what is being said. So then I want to see what the characteristics of an active listener is. So I looked it up, and it says allowing the person with the problem to express and to talk without being judged, being allowing the person to stay in neutral and accept feelings as they are, care, to be caring, allowing one human being to reach out to another human being with respect, mm-hmm. empathize, allowing the listener to hear what the speaker is coming from and allows us to be sensitive to another's feelings or ideas, even when we don't agree. The purpose of active listening is not to give advice, instruct, solve problems, or judge. It is to respect the worth and value of another human being through listening, accepting, caring, and empathizing. So that scripture, I really have to pause and think because, you know, sometimes we do, you know, people express their thoughts and feelings to us, and sometimes we, you know, when things happen to them and we offer them advice and we want to tell them sometimes, you know, like I told you so, or, you know, should be, you know, our thought process to listen and not judge. That was like the biggest thing for me. So the story that I want to share is, this happened to me last night. Me and a friend walked to the store, and we encountered like a drunk young lady that got in her face. Like, she checked out on the line first, and then I got behind her. I really couldn't see what happened, but she said that the young lady got in her face, and she was drunk and she was close, but we had on masks. But my friend, like, was real hysterical about the situation. She started yelling. She was like, I'm about to go. So I'm like, well, let me hurry up and get my stuff. I was waiting for the guy to get me something. So before I could, you know, hurry up and check out, she had ran out the door. So I didn't know she called my phone because my phone was on silent. And right before we went to the store, I was, like, really frustrated because I had two papers to type and my computer was acting up. So I had just got done late at night. So I'm like, I need to get some fresh air. So I asked her to go to the store with me, but I tried to call her back, and then I went to her door and knocked on her door. She was like, get away from me. Leave me alone. But, like, prior to that, like, yesterday and a few weeks leading up to that, she had been telling me about some problems that she had been facing. And, you know, I was empathizing with her. And then, you know, sometimes, like, at yesterday, I thought she was, like, kind of complaining too much. But, I mean, when people are mad and frustrated, sometimes they just need to take their frustration and anger on you and not want you to judge them and just listen and be an active listener to them and just to embrace them. So when she told me to get away from her door, my initial thought was to, like, cuss her out through text message, not cuss her out, but tell her, you know, tell her off. But I had to quickly and critically analyze the situation she was going through. I feel like she had taken her anger out and frustration out on all the things that she was going through. It built up, and she just exploded. So then at that moment, I had to calm myself down and began to pray for her in the situation she was facing and go back to my room and just think about all the things she had been through. And her, I know she said that her anxiety was acting up. I feel like since I've been in this process, the Lord has really spiritually, like, elevated me and have me grown, like, allow me to grow through certain situations that I would have reacted differently to, like, before this. So I feel like, you know, it took her a little time, but she just text messaged me up. Well, I texted her this morning telling her that, you know, I was really praying for her, and I know that what she was going through, and I know how frustrated she was about what she was going through, and that if she wants to talk, just, you know, contact me. I gave her some space because usually I would have just wrote her off as a friend, say, get you, or, you know, I don't need you. But at that time, it was effective for me, more effective for me to pray for her and minister to her than to just write her off and forget, you know, about what she was going through. I had to move myself aside and let God allow me to pray for her and, you know, just to think about her situation and give her sympathy. So we have to be active listeners, you know, be slow to judge and be slow to be angry and stop quickly reacting of what could have saved somebody. She's going through, you know, really deep depression. Like, if I would have reacted the wrong way to her, I would have probably fueled the fire and made everything worse. But I was just glad that I was an encouragement to her, because she had just texted me like an hour before we got on this line, telling me how she appreciates me for being there for her, and how she was really frustrated about what she was going through. So I'm glad that, you know, I told her, I didn't want to stop being her friend. And, you know, I'm here for her if she needs me. I'm going to continue to pray for her, and she's going to get through whatever she's going through. But sometimes, you know, even when God tells us stuff and we be angry at him, like, you know, he allows us grace and mercy. He don't have to allow us that, like, you know, what if he was to write us off? And we was to miss the blessings that he continuously bestows upon us. So I thought about that time too. Like, you hear me and the stuff that I'm doing, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm just striving to be, you know, better and to be more like you. But that's my whole concept, my presentation, just to be slow to anger and just to be a listener and just to critically analyze situations that we go through and not to quickly react and to actively listen to his word and to just pray for individuals if they treat you in a bad type of way, even if you didn't do anything to them. This really ministered to me. So thank you so much. This is the end of my presentation. And I hope that my word was effective.
Amen. Work, and it comes alive. That's such a blessing. Any questions, comments that you want to share with the evangelist elect Keturah?
Well, I'd like to say
thank you for your transparent moment. Thank you for your
That's exactly
moment.
What I was going to say. The whole idea of transparency that you would share, and then I think it also shows the transparency shows the growth that you admitted that maybe in the past you might not have been as quick to stop, think about it, and then have some kind words. You know, so all of those things, you know, as you go through this process, he does work on us, and our lives are not our own. So, you know, the fact that you had the wisdom to understand that she wasn't really lashing out at you specifically, but she was just in a rough place, and you were able to take that and interpret that, pray for and minister to her. So it was a great job. Great introduction,
yes.
And certainly great insight on the word.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
I think that as an evangelist, evangelist Keturah, soon to be, that it's imperative that God teach you how that when you're preaching to others and when you're evangelizing others, they might come at you with their hurts, and that you have to look past their hurts, die to yourself, and show Christ. And so you had a lesson. You had a on-the-job training program that came forth through your friend to prepare you for the task at hand, and that's being an evangelist. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Apostle. Amen. Amen. All right. Well,
overseer?
Yes, ma'am, yes.
While we're in this vein, let me just say that next week it's wise counsel, and it's the characteristic And the presenter is Shannon Frisbee and her accountability partner.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right, so we definitely look forward to that. This is kind of the season of the evangelist, and so we haven't covered that particular office. And so I would just like to, ask Apostle KP. She started as an evangelist, and so she can bring some insight as to what that role and that office looks like. Oh, if she would be so kind, we would like to get her to come up with us next week and share about the office of the evangelist. There are many kinds that the Labors for Christ does ordain. There's the marketplace evangelist. There's the apostolic evangelist. And so there's the outreach evangelist. And so there are many different offices that you may be called to, and they don't all look the same. And they're not all, as Apostle said, your shoes may be different because your terrain is different. And so we want to be comfortable in the uniqueness of the ministry that God had called it to, which is why it's so important for you to write it down. So often if you write something down, it helps you to stay focused. So sometimes when you have a decision to make, if you look at your vision and your mission, and if your decision is in line with that, that's one of the things that you can use to bring affirmation that that's something you need. It's really not quite lining up with your vision and your mission, then you need to step back. You need to see it could be that God is doing a new thing, but you definitely want to make sure that that vision and that mission that he's given you, you're fulfilling it in the way that you walk and in the decisions that you make and in the groups that you allow to influence you. They have to all be in line with your vision and mission. And that's why it's so helpful to be in an organization that also has a vision and a mission, and you are in line with their vision and mission, which is how it becomes a stronger and stronger bond. And that way we're able to, and not just transparency, but accountability. And so some things may come, and it's like, got nothing to do with, it's like, well, maybe that's not for me in this season. And so that's one of the tools that you can use when you're going forth in ministry. There's going to be a lot of decisions that you're going to have to make, a lot of choices that you're going to have to make, a lot of us you're going to have to balance and to come up with that which is the will of God and not just a good thing but a God thing. And so we really want to encourage you to understand your calling. And even if you read over it again, what you submitted to me, then and if you think, well, there's more to it than that, then add it. You know, don't make it just an assignment you're turning in, but rather you're allowing the Holy Spirit to stir you up so that the gift and calling in you can surface, it can come to the top, that passion can be ignited and trained and focused the way God intended for it to be. And so we appreciate carefully Apostle KP's yes, Apostle Katie Pierce, her yes, in bringing us a presentation on the office of evangelist. And you can also see that there is often where you start is not where you end up. You know, so many times people are, they're looking and they're comparing, and you don't know what is ahead for you. I'm sure in the beginning, well, I don't know, but Apostle KP maybe will share that, you know, whether she saw it ending as an apostle or that just that fire of the evangelist. So she can even be an apostolic evangelist, you know, in the mission and vision that she has. And so it'll just be interesting for her. Am I getting a yes from you, Apostle? Yes or no?
I wait. Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, oh, ma'am. Okay. Not a problem.
Okay, because I'm going on here. No. But, you know, we would really love that sharing, because I think that that's what we're looking for, not just in mentorship, but in modeling. You know, we need to see the model of a thing that's alive and focusing and functioning, and then it, because it makes what we're doing real, more real and more obtainable. And so we want to also open the floor for the candidates. We had a lot of teaching last week and the week before about your garment and that sort of thing. We're going to ask Pastor Yvette to be on call as well as it relates to the tallit, which a lot of it wasn't, he kind of just gave us a brief insight. But as you have studied your garment and the uses of the vestment and their spiritual background and support, do you have any questions?
Evangelist Vera, I have a question. Well, a statement.
Sure.
As I was looking online at the cast socks and the surplus and all of that, I called around to a couple of places, and it's where you can't even get in to get size for them, but they won't return them back. You can't return them back. So,
mm-hmm.
I had a question because I was talking to my accountability partner. I said, what happens when you've never had to wear or purchase a cassock or surplus and you don't really know what the sizing is, especially for women with who's kind of busty or, you know, hippie
mm-hmm.
or what have you. So I was just
mm-hmm.
wondering, you know, how do we go about that? Is it something that how will we even purchase it?
Okay, this is Pastor
Yvette,
and I have a question. So you said when you called in, you did get a person?
I did get a person. I called Watra. I did get a
mm-hmm.
person, and he said they can take the order, you pay the credit card or what you want, and they'll have
right,
it ready
uh-huh.
curbside service. However, you are not allowed into the
my thing was, I was going to say, because they would measure you, so is it that if you were able to give measurements, would they be able to determine what size you would need?
I asked him that, and what he told me was, depending on the actual robe or cassock that you you choose, all of them are different. It may be where someone's smaller than the other, so
that
you really
first,
wouldn't
yeah.
know. You will have to try it on. So now the tippet and the cincher, those are all basically the same sizes. But however, the cassock and the surplus was what surplus is what they were saying. You really need to try on to know the fit. Because they run different
okay,
sizes, and they run.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think what we can, we are going to have to do this. Obviously, it's something new because of what's going on in the world. But I do know that Watts is very familiar with Laborers for Christ and the kinds
mm-hmm.
of cassock that we our candidates purchase. Okay. And
okay.
I believe that if you make sure that you measure yourself with clothes on, it's okay if it's a little big. Because remember,
okay.
you are going to have clothes on. And for you, on top of your clothes, you're going to also have your surplus. And so I believe that with your normal dress size and your measurement, I believe that they would be able to match it up. And I know there's nothing beats a trying on, and we know that. And I'm sure they have a lot
mm-hmm.
of instances where they get in and it doesn't fit. But so many people have bought them online, and they have not tried
mm-hmm.
them on. They have ordered
okay.
them, and they put the measurements, and they came, and they fit well. I do say
okay.
always buy up a size if you can
okay.
because you're going to be fully dressed under it. And sometimes you may even have a suit on. So, you know,
okay.
it won't, you know, it's not like you just have a slip. So, yes, I believe
okay.
that if you I was going to say if we could maybe we'll contact Watchers, and because they do, I know a lot of people try a lot of different ones on, but some are fitted, and you don't want to fit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to fit that way. You definitely want it to fall loose and straight down. So
okay.
We will call and then give them an idea of what we are, what you guys would be needing, and they will come up with a suggestion. Obviously, it's not a guarantee, and so I understand they're covering themselves by saying, no, they're not going to take it back, okay? But as long as it's big enough, you can work with it because you're going to put the center on it anyway, so that'll make it, more fit. So, but you definitely want it long enough, and you want it big enough.
Okay.
That's a good question. Anybody else? Okay. And we have a lot of interest. Yes.
I was just going to add that hopefully, as this current situation hopefully gets better and we may be able to not be sheltered in place, Evangelist, you may have the opportunity to still go in and try it on in person. Excuse me. That you may be able to go in and try it on in person, and then just as Overseer just said, that maybe with a call from leadership or something like that, we kind of had a problem at my church. I ordered 22 for our ministry staff, and they kept telling me what they couldn't do and this and that. And then, but after real consideration, and they know you're serious, because the lady did give me some examples of some really crazy things people had done to them. But once she was satisfied, because I told her of my relationship with laborers, and like I said, the church that I go to, we get our choir robes, my pastor's bought a couple robes from them, they were really able to work with me. They even sent me some out. I can't guarantee you they'll do that, but they even sent me like a couple out. Because I'm like, we're not spending all this money and just never seeing anything, And so they may be willing to work with you. And if you get my number, I can tell you exactly who I talked to. And some of the folks that, just give me a call offline. I think that we might be able to do something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll, we will announce
okay.
it. Elder Sharita sent it out as a part of the email because other people may run into that same problem. Okay. So, because this is going to be unique. And so we're going to run into things that we never had to encounter before. So, are there any more questions? Okay. We do want to try to stick with the hour. I don't want to go well past our, the others were special training. But I did want you to be prepared for your next phase. And so there are going to be some things that we'll talk about the first hour of next week. But if whatever you get in your emails from Elder Sharita, I need you to look through it thoroughly to see what questions you may need to ask, because there are some things that we will share with you, but if you, in reading them, go, well, I don't know what they want here, or what does this mean, go over the information that she gives you and make notes on it so that we can discuss it, and then you can flow much smoother in your completion of these. I just need you to understand that these are questions, these are forms, these are requirements that were given to the apostle when this whole ordination section of the AEN was established, and they were given it the apostle by God so that they can make the kind of assessment that the leaders that were coming up through the ranks. And so these questions are questions that will stir you if you allow Holy Spirit to teach you as you read them, and you'll know what the value of them are, and they're not just to answer and turn in. These are one form is to evaluate where are you emotionally. And in this season, there's some questions that we do need to sit down and meditate and come up with some real answers, not the established or the acceptable answers, but some real serious answers. Where am I now in this season of pandemic? You know, where am I? What is my emotional place? And you know, we're all rooted and grounded in the Word, and we love the Lord, but sometimes you sit and other things happen. And so these are questions that you need to just honestly answer so that we get that right picture, because it may just be a simple thing of making a presentation from someone to get you into a place that overcomes, you know, whatever it is. You don't have to try to struggle to perfect the thing, because God is the one that is going to bring the perfection. But he needs us to be honest and to be truthful. Just like she mentioned, sometimes you just get mad at God and you don't want to talk to him. You know, and that's just real. But don't pretend like, no, I'm good, it's all good. Sometimes it ain't all good. And so as leaders, in order to be spiritually healthy, we have to first be honest. We have to allow Holy Spirit to examine us. And we have to have an ear to hear what he is saying to us so that we can then go from there in the prescription that God has for us. So these are forms and these questions, they are all, now not it, well, the other, this is this set of questions in this next phase that's coming. Then the other is your relational questionnaire. How are you with others? The first is how you are within yourself. And then the next is how are you with others? What is the foundation of your relational life? You know, what are the first things, you know, that you remember? I'm just getting all kinds of funnies over here. But these are things that you need to really just say, I never thought about that. Then think about it. Ask Holy Spirit. Bring to mind, because sometimes it'll bring to the surface of things, honestly, that as leaders you may need to be healed from before you can be released to go forth and minister to other people. And we have those things in place for you as well. And so, but if we're not aware of them, then you don't get to the access to them. And so then you just become just a very knowledgeable, wounded person. And so that's not where we're this is the whole place that we want to get into. We want to be made whole so that we can help others. And so we really want you to look at these questions, and they'll go, oh, they asked me this before. Because they can ask you the same question on the two different forms. But depending on if you're doing the relational, how you are with other people, and then the emotional, but how are you with yourself, your answers may be totally different. So don't just assume what I wrote on this page, on this paper, I can write on that paper. Ask Holy Spirit, should I? And he will definitely give you instructions. So just wanted to kind of get you in the mindset of looking at the information that's going to be sent out to you, and so that you can sit down and take time doing this with shelter in and shelter in place. You have lots of opportunity to really commit this time in yourself to God in your process. So, any more questions, comments, concerns, inspirations? Okay. If not, we will let you go. And if Prophet could close us out.
I can. Thank you. Good session today. Enjoyed all of the conversation, the feedback, and we pray that you have been blessed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each person that is represented here. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives individually and collectively. We celebrate the awesome work that you have begun, and we thank you for how you are, how you have trailblazed their future. And so we pray that they will embrace and enjoy this process. Thank you for what you're doing on the inside of them, and thank you for what is about to be released and what is exploding in their lives today. And we pray your blessing over them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody, for wonderful presentations and sharing this evening. So we'll keep blessed.
God bless. Next week.
Yeah.